us okay?
Yes.
Okay, how are you doing today?
Pretty good.
And how many do you have for us, sir?
We have two for parole and one for revocation.
Okay, we'll be ready to get started with the gentleman we already have sitting there. As soon as you're ready for us to talk to him, sir.
Okay, and hopefully those ones will get up here. I called their CO3s and notified them, and they said they're going to be coming. So we only got one right now. Here he is. This is the Nate Devine.
Okay, thank you so very much. Good morning, Mr. Devine. Welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Committee for your hearing this morning. And I believe that the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will be conducting your hearing at this time. So please just hold on, sir.
Thank you.
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, sir. Can you hear me? Good?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so you're coming for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing this morning. But before I do, sir, could you please state your full name, your ADC number for us for the record?
Charles Edward Devine, 027811.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Devine. Mr. Devine, I'm going to go over some information you can kind of correct me if anything's out that to you is not agreeable to you. But you're asking to appoint you to this board for a regular board, home arrest, or an absolute discharge. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right, so you're currently serving a life sentence for murder. You actually have another life sentence for armed robbery. And one, you did a 30-year sentence for robbery, but those sentences were running concurrent, consecutive. Those sentences have now expired. Is that right? You only have one life sentence?
Yes.
Okay. So according to the DOC, it looks like for some reason through a clerical error that you didn't come to this board last year, however, for some reason that was skipped, is that right? You missed? Didn't show up?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'm looking at some information here that I have. It looks like you've actually been before this board approximately 20 times. Looks like in May of 1996, you were granted a home arrest. Then looks like in 9 years later, well, it looks like in 96 you were granted home arrest. It looks like in 06 you were given regular parole, which was almost...
That information is incorrect.
Okay, that's incorrect. What is it?
I didn't ever get out of prison until 2000.
Really?
Yeah, in 96 I was in prison. I never been on house arrest ever. Matter of fact, I got out in 2006.
Okay, you're right. You're arrested. Now, did I say 96?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's my fault. Because it looks like what I'm looking at here, it looks like May of 7, 96, you were granted home arrest. Then I'm looking at it looks like on May 8 of 06. You were granted in 06, looks like you were granted parole, regular parole. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, and then...
1996, yes, 06.
Okay, well, I'm just going off this documentation. I go by that. It's just what I have that you were granted that in 96. I also have, even earlier in 73, looks like you had some kind of hearing for parole.
Yes.
And you were granted parole, but it looks like 73, and in 76 it was revoked.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to finish going through this again. So in 06, you were granted parole. You were granted regular parole in 06, sir?
Yes, sir.
And then it looks like you went in 07. It looked like you came back before the board. It looks like they granted you regular parole. And then looks like in 2010, you had a revocation hearing and your parole was revoked. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then it looks like you had a couple more hearings during your time, and you were denied, and then it looks like in January of 2012, you were granted regular parole again, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And then with parole was revoked, December 31st, you have parole revocation here. It looks like one time, will you continue on parole at one time?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I went over and I did look at your parole sheets where you had been parole, and actually what it looked like is that you have been parole, and these last ones you were paroled on were from missing the E-way?
The last one was, it said Dilubi, and then the last one, from what I did, I didn't show up.
But I looked at your parole sheet, it looks like you had about 32, during that period of time, you had 32 UAs, and all of them were negative except that one that was Dilubi.
Actually, it was 66.
66?
Yes, sir.
Have you had any UAs since you've been incarcerated, sir?
Three.
Three, and how was those?
All of them were negative.
Okay. So the reason that you were revoked was because you had the one Dilubi and one missed UA?
Well, the Dilubi one, they actually dropped it. Because I had, when they called me to actually go take that UA, I was at class and I had been at work all day that day. So, you know, they take it up for a drink, but 8 hours of liquid, actually before you actually do this. And I had been, my color came up, they actually called me to actually show up and take the UA.
Okay.
Which was like at 7:30 at night.
Okay, so since you've been incarcerated, so have you taken any program?
Yes, I have attended AA. I attend a whole lot of psychological classes. I also have did a lot of trades stuff, character building, reentry programs, to show you about reentering back into society, and they got a program to show you how to remain free in an angry world, which was a good series of tapes and stuff that pick up good information from.
Okay. They're listed on your institutional progress report. Those classes aren't listed on here. That could be just a mishap on behalf of the DOC. It says on the release plan that when if you were released, you're going to go home to your body, where you're lying, and Maricopa, Arizona, and have a phone number. Although it says that you were looking for a job or release.
Well, we have a lot of people that's in business that I know I can be able to find work in that area down there, because we have some real close friends that been in the family for over 25 years, so some know good people that own businesses and everything, so that's where I would actually find some employment to actually offset the house or whatever we need to do.
Okay, so when you were used this last time when you were out off the road, it looks like you would have worked during that period of time.
I worked from the first day I got out all the way until I was incarcerated.
Okay.
I've always paid my parole fee in on time, never missed, never was late, never called you sick on the job, anything.
Okay. And it still looks like you haven't had any discipline since 2005?
No, none.
Okay, so you've been in discipline for three for about 17, 18 years?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'm just going to go over a little bit of information that's in the court document. I'm just going to read off the document, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then how old were you when this incident occurred back in 1975, sir?
25.
He was 25 years old?
Yes, sir.
It says that on December 4th, 1975, approximately 1:30 p.m., you entered the Coatley Petroleum Company located at 517 South 17th Avenue. You asked the victim if there was any apartment available. Then you left, and after he told you they didn't need anyone, but shortly thereafter, your co-defendant went into the office, asked the victim for some oil. While your co-defendant was talking with the victim, he knocked him to the floor. Then you remember that he began striking the victim in the head with a metal object. The asshole where he kept his money, he women's pockets, we lose some money. After that time, you guys left the store. Then it looks like December 4th, the same day, at approximately 2:15 p.m., you and Nicole Devinick entered the farmer's market at 1838 East Jackson, where your defendant got some jewelry. You remained at the counter. You guys approached the counter. Subsequently, robbing the female clerk inside there. There was a gentleman outside that just kind of saw some suspicious activity. Got the license plate number off the car, which subsequently led to the two of you, you and the co-defendant being arrested. Is that about right?
Yes, sir.
So, Mr. Devine, tell this boy what was going on with you during that period of time.
Well, I think I just barely got the FBI out, and I was thinking him being immature, hanging out with the wrong crowd during that time, and just having to have been drinking and going on that day. I think that's how all this really came about. That somebody said, let's go make some money or something, and I think that's how it all led to things that we actually did. But I kind of reiterate on that, that those guys that I was with, both of those went on. I had a chance to be cleared from one of these incidents right here, but the defendant that was in this case with me, he actually died. He went to New York and actually died from the incident at the store. At the Walkerby with Mr. Courtney. He actually went to New York and he died of AIDS after he had got out. But we had to hire a lawyer to actually separate us from that because I had no had anything to do other than trying to rob his man. I went there to buy a job, and they just happened to show up during the same time.
So you went there to look for a job. You were honestly there looking for a job?
I really honestly was because I lived from up there where I was at. I lived maybe about 8 blocks from there. And I had left that morning because I was working for Bosco Fashion Service Center off of 23rd and McDowell, and they had been laying us off for like 4 months, so I was just trying to find something to fill in for those 4 months. That was the only reason that I was actually there.
Okay.
And I actually sent a letter of apology to Mr. Courtney for, you know, that even if he thought that I had anything to do with what I wanted, I sent a letter of apology twice about 25, 30 years ago, but it's been 21 years ago since this happened. And it's, you know, and I'm not trying to minimize my actions or whatever happened, but it wasn't ever my intention to do any of these things from the beginning.
So let's talk about, and you were correct, it looks like in 1996, which you were parole to your next consecutive sentence. You didn't get out, but you had those other sentences that were the run consecutive, which are expired now, and you got parole to your next consecutive sentence. Okay. So let's talk about the time period that you were out, sir, because it looked like you went out and you haven't been in any trouble, and I looked at both of your revocation hearings, and they all seem to be pretty good. So what's the issue with, you already explained why you missed one. You looted one and you had a missed one. Can you just kind of explain what those were about?
The looted one, I tell you, that was the time when they actually contacted me. Maybe 7:30 at night. It wasn't like, you know, when the color come up, when you actually call and they give you a color that they show up.
Mm-hmm.
He actually called my wife, but she couldn't get me because I was in class and my phone was on vibrate, was off. So during the break, my wife had called me and told me that he wanted me to show up to actually take a UA that night. So you know, you have up until 8:30 to actually show up to the place. And this is like 15 minutes to 7, so I had to leave from all the way to 19th Avenue down there, all the way to get to just the other side of Thomas and 7th Street. So I had like maybe about an hour or so to get there before they actually shut it down. So during all that day, I had been working, restoring roofs and stuff on the building, working out in the sun all day. And not only did that, when I've been in class, I had drunk about 3 cups of coffee while I was there. So I'm quite sure when I went there, I just went and I t- that moment, the one that actually changed the color code for Tess, he showed up late, and the colors weren't changed until about 10:30, 11, later on that day. And I noticed, like, on the paperwork, it said that I had from the 14th to the 17th to actually take the U.S. My promo center, I missed on the 14th. He could have called me, and I could have went the next day or that evening and that evening. But he didn't call me until almost like a week later and told me this. Now, I could have went either the next day or even later that day. But you need to call everybody that day. If you don't show up because the colors come to them, and they know we have to go. And he explained this to me that he wasn't there for those 2 days, and this is why all this came about.
Okay. So, Mr. Devine, can you just tell me and Mr. Ford, if you were released again, why you won't be back before this board again for the revocation hearing? Because it looks like you have to be doing good when you're out, sir, because you got no home arrest and then you went to regular parole. So you have to be doing good. So what is it? Can you just tell us in your own words?
Well, I have a pretty good home structure. I have, you know, a nice family, and I actually got baptized in 2007 as one of the Jehovah's Witnesses, so I started to really change my life and reconstruct everything about my life and get rid of all those bad traits and things that I had, you know, and because I never was a violent person, showed no kind of forms of aggressiveness or anything like this here. I always try to do the right thing. This is the way I was raised up. I had a good upbringing with my parents. I have eight siblings of the nine with me, and we always raised up doing the right thing, doing the right way. And for some reason, when I was young, I guess I just strayed away from all my morals and all of my, and started finding the wrong conduct. But after when I got in here, I started doing all the positive things that I possibly could to actually change my life, and that's down to this day, that's where I'm at right now. Anything that I do now is a positive. If any kind of way I can help others to change their way into their life, if it ain't for one person, it means that I'm making some kind of progress. Because this is what I have. I am one of Jehovah's Witnesses, and my wife has been one for over 4 years, and, you know, most of our family are within the truth. So that's what we try to do. We try to help people. And I even had a speaker talking to the juveniles back in that, you know, maybe about 15 years ago or so. I used to go ahead and talk to the teenagers, the juveniles and all of that, teach them about drug prevention and all these different things so they won't get locked up or be no part of their life, you know, to try to keep them from abstaining from doing all the things that actually get them locked up. And I had some good responses and I had some bad responses. And not only that, I kind of raised another about 14, 15 adopted kids also, you know. So we were doing some good things, trying to keep people from entering and getting into the system, because I've been in the system and I know what goes on in there, and I know ain't none of it's good for nobody. So I just, you know, like I said, I try to change as many people as I possibly can. And I still, to this day, as I came back in right now, in this last 4 years I've been in here, right now, I've kind of reconstructed my life. I talked with my wife, and we're on the same page. And she told me we can't do this no more, because you just do too many positive things to get, you know, to be left in judgment or something if it was on my part or whatever, and I apologize for that. But I know I would never come back up again to be part of this madness that goes on up again, because it's just a bunch of evil and a bunch of madness up in this prison.
Okay. Mr. Devine, I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you, sir. There's no additional questions coming from the board, so I see that you do have some supporters here. And I'm going to go on your supporters at this time, sir, and hear your supporters. So there's several people that's listed on here. I have Ms. Ruby? Is it Madison or Babson?
Babson.
Babson?
Mason.
And then I have, looks like a John Babson. Mr. Matt? Yes. And then it looks like, Viola Rodriguez?
That's my son, that's gonna go.
Okay, oh yeah. I have Deloria Devine.
Okay.
And, alright, I can't even. Last one, maybe Google or something, I can't even read that. What is it? support it, Mr. Devine. So.
I have my name too.
And what is your name?
Deborah Devine.
Okay, I'm gonna add, oh, it is, like, that would be your sister, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not gonna say which one you wanna come in, so whatever one you guys wanna come in and speak, just come up here to the mic and just go ahead and state your full name and go ahead and present whatever information you'd like to present to the board.
Because she really do need him. That's it.
Okay, the board have any additional questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
And who's next?
My name is DeJuan Robinson.
They just won't give me the address, we didn't call him, so.
Johnson, my name is DeJuan Robinson.
Okay.
The nephew, I'm Deborah's son. My uncle Charlie, I call him Old Man, he's been locked up all my life. And as a kid, I remember seeing him going visiting with my grandparents. Just as life would have it, I ended up being incarcerated with him for about 3 years. And that time helped me motivate and be moved into a more productive citizen. And we actually came home together in 07. And in 07, first my grandmother passed away, then his brother passed away, and then my older sister passed away. And all we had was my encouragement through those times to handle the awareness. As the last month has been 12 years that I've been home. So I believe and I know that, you know, we like praying for him and people like you know, needs to be out here in this time that we can be building family together, staying together, encouraging one another, because sometimes when we go into something and you don't think you relate to people, for me, it's helped me having people that understand where you come from to communicate with, to, you know, motivate you and to remind you of what it could be. And I know sometimes, and I'm going to take a little partiality to people's circumstances and situations that occur and crimes that commit, but, you know, like as my mother said, my grandfather, we buried my grandmother in 07. But my grandfather, 96 years old, you know, he had the privilege of being able to be with his youngest son for these past years. And I just hope and pray that you guys will see him as favor and give him an opportunity, a chance to come home and be part of our family again, productive part of our family. And it's a tremendous help to his wife. She's even during that time, she's been going through some health issues, and he was there for her. And that in itself is a tremendous help, and that's an aid to, you know, society as a whole. So I just ask God for a favor over him as well.
Okay, thank you. The board have any additional questions?
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any more supporters wishing to speak? Okay, Mr. Devine, we heard from your supporters. The board's coming up on a conclusion on your hearing, sir. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion, sir?
No, I just wanted to thank you all for giving me the opportunity to come before you today and be heard to show you that I have really changed, and I do believe that I will be successful at standing free if I was given my freedom.
Okay. So, Mr. Devine, let me just, before we go into discussion, I just want to ask you a couple of questions. So you were out, you were on parole, you had the freedom, and you were violated. You would continue one time for a diluted UA, and then you were violated for a missed UA. Sir, do you understand the importance of when you out on home arrest, regular parole, that the importance of what it is to take those UAs and make sure that you adhere to those things?
I really truly do. I would like to treasure my freedom, so I would make sure that these things get taken care of.
Okay. Well, I didn't see in the parole application where there was a problem with your, you know, when you're on parole, home arrest, you do have that monitor on you. I didn't see. Did you have the monitor when you were on parole the first time? Because then you got robbed.
No, sir. No, sir. I had regular parole.
So you never had the monitor?
No, sir.
Okay. All right, sir. Is there anything else you want to say to the board?
No, that's just about it, that I would do my best to adhere to all rules and principles that you give me to actually remain free, so whatever that takes, you know, but I trust that I would do the right thing and make the right decision, so I'll leave it in your hand.
All right, well, thank you, Mr. Devine. Sir, the board is going to go into discussion. While the board is in discussion, we will make a determination whether to grant you home arrest, regular parole, or an absolute discharge. And while the board is in discussion, so I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone so that you can hear the discussion taking place amongst the board. However, I need you to remain silent while the board's having a discussion, and then we'll get back to you with the board's decision, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. So the board is now into discussion. We have an opportunity to hear and talk to Mr. Devine, as well as some of his supporters that he actually has here, but many supporters. We had heard from a few of the supporters of the many supporters that he actually has in the room. But looking at Mr. Devine, he had his freedom, and he was out, and he had a diluted UA. He explained that, and the board continued him because of that diluted UA, because of the explanation. Then he had a missed UA, which he gave us a reason for having that missed UA that he actually had, but every UA that he did actually take was negative. And what I saw in here, I thought was about 31 UAs that he had, and they were all negative. He says he's probably had about 60 UAs that were all negative. That since he's been incarcerated, that I believe he said he had three since he's been incarcerated. They were all been negative since he's been incarcerated. But I'm willing, and I think that Mr. Devine is sincere that he wants to do right. And when he was out before, he did have a job. He was working. He was going along with all the things. He just had the stipulation on there, placed on there by the board, that he missed any UA unsuitable for testing that he violated. And that's why he was actually violated. So he had some classes that he had to attend. He attended all the classes that he needed to attend. He did, it looks like he's done everything that his parole officer told him, except for those two incidents that came up. He's been incarcerated now for about 2 years, I believe it is. And I think that I'm willing to either, and I tell him kind of in between, grant him the home arrest or regular parole. However, I'm willing to listen to my regular colleagues. Mr. Mill.
Yes, sir. There's a definite pattern to his releases. And it took a long time back that he was in released and then committed two separate robberies. And that's part of why he got these sentences like they are. But the pattern, he gets granted parole. He got about 3 years, even the very first one, and he does something wrong. His last one, it was all not 2 and 3/4 years. And it's been, 3 or 4 years since he was lost. I was thinking that maybe he needed to change up, about to get started on parole, and do a little rest for a period of time. But without that first UA mention in there, because if you go home west, you have an itinerary that's really, really tough to follow, and can be the judge of one or two Muslims. But I think you're going to go for home west.
Hello, guys.
Well, Mr. Johnson, I agree with Mr. Neal. I think that home arrest would be appropriate because sometimes, having been incarcerated, and they need just a little period of time to get adjusted. And I think home arrest helps that to happen. And I think that perhaps if he had been on home arrest the last time, perhaps we wouldn't be talking to him today. He would have made progress. Therefore, I would, as one board member, I would prefer a home arrest. But I'm only speaking at one board member, sir.
Okay. Okay, then I am going to make a motion to grant Mr. Devine home arrest. And the stipulations are that he got on mandatory DOC sentence. No alcohol use, I don't know if I want to mark me to operate a motor vehicle since he's been out and spent. That's already the no contact with victim's family. I don't know if there's restitution, but if there is, he has to update his restitution by institutional rules. Partaking any available program as director, I'm going to put down his wife's address. At this time.
And supervision fee.
$65. $65 supervision fee, and that is to start 2 months?
Right, 60 days.
60 days after. That's my motion.
Second.
A motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse, agree by the right, agree Mr. Neal, agree Mr. Quinones.
I think you know what you've been saying.
Okay, well, Mr. Devine, we want to thank you for taking the opportunity and time to appear before this board, sir. That's going to conclude the hearing at this time, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Please put the CO3 back on the form, sir.
Thank you.